Going through life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. A man by the name of Alfred Newton came down to see Betty and Bob in the country yesterday as the representative of Walter Humboldt, publisher of the Seneca News, and made a handsome offer for the trumpet. But Betty and Bob turned the offer down, fearing that Humboldt would merely use the trumpet as an instrument to help him and his corrupt political associates to gain the same stranglehold on the city government of Monroe as they have on the state capitol. Yes, Humboldt's offer to buy the trumpet has suddenly revealed to Betty and Bob what they're sure is the truth, that Humboldt and his cohorts are responsible for the strange political upheavals that have been taking place in Monroe. Naturally, it is quite a strain on Bob to remain in the country now when every nerve is demanding that he return to Monroe to take active control of his newspaper. But stay he must, in order to recover completely from the accident which almost cost him his life. Now, early this evening, we find Bob coming into the house. Claire is arranging some flowers on the piano. Claire Evans, the widow of Bob's star reporter, who has finally begun to take a grip on life once more after her great tragedy.
Hello, Claire.
Hello, Bob.
Where's Betty?
Upstairs in her room.
Mother?
Oh, putting the twins to sleep. You tired, Bob?
Tired? From what?
Well, you've been working pretty hard all day out in the garden.
I didn't notice it much, I guess. My mind's on other things. Those flowers are real pretty.
You like them there?
Mm-hmm. Perfect spot. Smells good, whatever we're going to have for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Roast beef.
Oh, couldn't be better. Chet Andrews is coming to dinner tonight, isn't he?
Yes.
Nice fellow, isn't he?
He's terribly nice.
A lot of spunk, that fellow. A lot of brains, too. He'll get somewhere.
Funny that he should be a writer, too.
What's funny about it? The country's full of writers. More power to them.
You haven't seen anything that Chet's written, have you?
No, but I'm pretty sure he's got the stuff, even though he admits he's nothing more than a beginner.
Hal was very talented.
Yes, he was.
He would have been a great writer.
I think so, too. Hey, Betty! Come on down, will you, and bring Mother with you? I'm starved. Who are you talking to? Why doesn't she use the phone down here? Why does she have to use the extension upstairs?
I don't know, Bob.
It's peculiar. Oh, that must be Chet, huh? You let him in, won't you, Claire? I'm going upstairs and wash and eavesdrop on my wife, if she'll let me.
Hello, Claire.
Good evening, Chet. Won't you come in?
Sure. Ah, where's everybody?
Well, they'll all be down in a minute.
Oh, here's some candy I brought along. What'll I do with it?
Why don't you put it down over there?
All right. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful night. Clear sky. There'll be a lot of stars, too.
Yeah. Did you have a pleasant day in school today?
Well, it's getting pretty tough to keep order. The kids have got one eye on their books and one eye out the window. I can't say I blame them either.
You mean you've got one eye on them and the other out the window?
Uh-huh.
Will you sit down?
Oh, sure. Yeah, this room gets prettier every time I see it. Say, those flowers look wonderful.
Oh, do you really like them there?
Sure.
What do you do when vacation time comes around?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got enough money to do anything with. I figure I'll stay around here and work.
Work?
Well, I don't know whether Betty and Bob told you, but I fool around with writing.
Oh, yes, they told me about it. You don't seem to have much confidence in yourself.
Oh, I do. I just don't like to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mean it that way. It's just that, well, when I get something published, well, I'll probably start bragging so hard nobody will be able to stand me.
Oh, you'll probably be more modest than you are now.
Oh, I'm not really modest. I'm just shy. There's a big difference.
You don't strike me as being shy.
I am, about almost everything. But I'm also pretty stubborn. I usually get what I want.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, hello there, Chad.
Oh, good evening, Bob.
Say, how do you like my wife, Claire? As soon as I come into the room, she shuts up like a clam and doesn't say anything over the phone except, Who's she talking to, anyway?
You sound jealous.
I always have been. I don't like this. Well, Chad, you got anything exciting to report?
No, I'm afraid not. How about you?
Well, a lot of things have been happening with that newspaper of mine in Monroe. Chap came around yesterday and wanted to buy it for Walter Humboldt, publisher of the Seneca News.
Oh, yes, yeah, I've heard about him.
Not nice things, huh?
No. Isn't he involved with a lot of crooked politicians?
Yes. And the fact that Humboldt wanted to buy the Trumpet convinced me that he must have something to do with all the things that are happening in Monroe. He must have had something to do with those councilmen voting in that new city manager, baiting Chief of Police Henderson into quitting. You haven't heard of Ellsworth Jameson by any chance, have you?
No, the name doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, he's the new city manager. Why, nobody knows. At least nobody knows at the moment. But I'm going to find out.
Good evening, Chet.
Oh, good evening, Betty.
Finish your phone call?
Yes.
Soon?
Yes, so soon.
Who were you talking to, if I'm not asking too much?
Would you really like to know?
Afraid I can't hold out much longer. Oh, I'll take it. Hello? Swanson, put him on. It's Swanson, Betty. Something must be up.
Yes. Swanson's our managing editor on the Trumpet, Chet.
Oh, I see.
Oh, hello, Swanson. Yeah? Drunken driving, huh? You're sure of that? All right, go ahead. What? We'll suppress nothing. They've got their nerve, huh? No, wait a minute. No, let me talk this over with Betty, and I'll call you back in a few minutes. Okay? All right, goodbye.
What is it, Bob?
Boy, this is something. Our new city manager's daughter, Margaret Jameson, was just picked up for drunken driving.
What?
That's right. And one of the Trumpet reporters was on the spot. He phoned the office, and the rewrite man has just finished the story when a phone call came in to Swanson from Chase. That's one of the city councilmen.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to kill the story. He says the other newspapers are doing it, and that Judge Lewis has dismissed the charges against her.
Well, what's there to think over, Bob? You're going to let Swanson run the story, aren't you?
I don't know.
Well, why not? You'd run it about any other drunken driver.
Well, listen, Betty. We're up against a big and crafty outfit. Because I'm convinced that Jameson is the creature of that gang of crooked politicians up at the state capitol. Now, if he's the kind of a weak, jittery man that Henderson says he is, he may be the one we want to get to know better. If we don't run that story about his daughter, he'll feel, well, he'll feel kind of obligated to us. It'll be easier to get to know him. And just by hearsay, I guess he's the kind of a man you can find out things from.
Yes. Yes, I can see that there's something in that, Bob.
Drunken driving.
She must be a pretty mixed-up girl.
Henderson gave us a pretty accurate description of her, too, didn't he?
Certainly did. The kind of girl he described was just the sort to get in a mess like this.
Well, I'll call up Swanson and tell him to kill the story, and then we'll get on with dinner. Gosh, I wish I was there.
Do you, Bob?
About what?
Wish you were back in Monroe. At your desk, with the trumpet.
What are you doing, teasing me?
You know who I was talking to upstairs on the phone?
Well, you know I don't.
I was talking to Dr. Chapman.
Dr. Chapman, what for? To complain about my moodiness?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, what are you trying to do? Get everybody on your side?
But he's not on my side.
Hmm?
He's on your side.
What are you saying?
Just that, darling. He wants to look you over, and if he finds out that everything is coming along nicely...
Yeah?
Well, he suggests that we rent a house in the suburbs... In Monroe.
Aunt Betty.
So the children will still have the advantages of the country, and you'll have an opportunity for rest and quiet, along with your work.
Betty, you're not kidding me. This is all true.
Yes, Bob, it's all true.
Oh, Betty, darling, let me kiss you.
Oh, Bob.
And you, Clara.
Oh, Bob.
And if I knew you better, Chet, I'd kiss you, too. Oh, Betty, you're simply marvelous.
I didn't do anything, darling. I spoke to Dr. Chapman, hoping that he'd phone you and bawl you out. Well, he turned the tables on me.
Oh, good for him. Oh, say, this is miraculous. To get back there and to be right in the middle of the fight, to know that you're of value and service to other people. Don't you like the idea, Betty?
I like it. I'm afraid it's the idea around which we've built our lives.
So, Betty and Bob are going back to Monroe. Apparently, the idea that a man can retire in a world where so much work has to be done, where the forces of evil crowd in as soon as the forces of good take a rest, well, there is no resting. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.